hard-hitting, intelligent discussion, painstakingly researched, thought-provoking opinions, and deep insight when you need it most. You'll get none of that here. Broadcasting from a secret location deep within America's heartland, Unapologetically Mediocre Studios presents the No Better Than Average podcast with your hosts Jacob Cazell, Jeff Chaney, and Todd Singer.
Welcome, everybody, to episode number 123 of the No Better Than Average show. I'm here with my co-host, as always, Jacob Cazell. Jacob, how's it going?
Jeff, you are a crazy man. You like car buying, and I am arms deep in the car buying experience. It is miserable.
You know, should I offer a service to help you buy
Yes.
a car?
Yes, you should. I've actually seen people do offer those services. Here's the thing. There is an overwhelming amount of information. It's hard to compile it all together. And no matter what numbers I come up with, I feel like somehow I am going to get taken advantage of.
You're not. You're buying a new car, right?
We're buying a new car.
So, no, you're not going to get taken advantage of. Because the margins on new cars are so small that really, like, okay, yes, you may spend $500 to $1,000 more than the next guy, but that's like, what, 1%?
Right, absolutely, and I get it, but it's just like I'm so anxious at the whole prospect of sitting down and doing the negotiation. It's just such, I hate it.
Okay, so plug for someone that's not related to us in any way whatsoever, but just use TrueCar. You're going to get close enough to a good price and you're not going to have to deal with all that. And let's face it, the stress that that's going to take off you is worth probably the difference that you're going to pay.
Yeah.
Because you don't enjoy it. I enjoy it. So for me, it's like, I want to beat them. Like, I'm going to beat them. But if you don't want to deal with that, go on TrueCar, say, this is what I want to buy. They're going to give you a price. They're going to connect you with a dealer. You're going to pay that price. You're done.
Yeah, and that's what I've done. I've looked at TrueCar. I've looked at Edmunds. I think I've got a number to go in. Now we, you know, and so my wife and I have been crunching all of the numbers on, we're looking at a Toyota Sienna. And there are some incentives right now. We can either do 0% APR or we can get cash back. And in crunching the numbers, we have figured out that at the numbers that we're seeing that we're getting pre-approved from credit unions on, it's actually a better deal to take the cash back.
Sure.
Because we'll end up coming out ahead at the end of the loan as opposed to doing the 0% financing, which is just crazy to me.
Okay, so let me give you a suggestion. You've got numbers from Edmunds. You've got numbers from TrueCar.
Yep.
So you have a rough idea what you want to pay, right?
Yep.
Okay, so what you do, go to your credit union, okay, or whoever you're getting your loan from.
Right.
Have them write a check for wherever you're going to buy it.
Okay.
So you're going to buy it from whatever. Joe Schmo's Toyota.
Right.
And you're going to spend $26,475.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you think you should pay. Go have them write a check to Joe Schmo Toyota for $26,460.
Right.
Okay. Walk in and say, I'll buy that car.
Here's your check.
I'm not paying up anymore. And you're done.
No mats, no extended warranty, no dealer delivery charge.
Here's your check. Look, it's already made out to you. It already has the amount. This is what I'm paying. And if they won't do it, tear it up and leave.
You know, I hear what you're saying, and I've read advice to do exactly that. I've also read advice to go in with everything prearranged and let them see if they can beat your financing. There's so much advice.
Don't worry about all that.
I suppose.
Because you're stressing out about it. Don't stress out about it. You know what you're willing to pay. Get the check for that. You're done. It's over.
Yeah, that's not bad advice. So,
because then you don't have to deal with all that other stuff and you don't have the anxiety. And that's worth something.
It is worth something. But then I might be leaving money on the table.
Yeah, you might. And you know what? That money is antacid.
That's true. Your antacid. That is
bill.
True. that's a very good point. So that is how I am doing.
For me, I enjoy that part of it. So for me, that's an enjoyable experience. For you, it's not. So that's a fee that you're going to pay because you don't want that experience. And that's okay.
How did you get to the point where you enjoy that experience? It is just awful.
It's a sickness. I got to admit it. Like,
yeah, and I can tell you my experience with the Toyota dealers in Central Indiana, but not on the show. Speaking of the show, we have a call-in combat line, 317-643-1212. You can subscribe to our newsletter, knowbettershow.com/join, or you can send us feedback, feedback@knowbettershow.com. Jeff, how are you doing this evening? I think you mentioned something about curry pre-show.
Yeah, so I went out with five gentlemen that work for the same consulting company that I do that are native to India. And we went to an Indian restaurant together.
Nice.
And it was delicious. And, you know, Indian rum, actually pretty good.
Ooh.
Huh. I'm just saying, never had it before. And they were like, oh, you should try this. And I tried it. And you know what? It was good. So,
Yeah. I've never had that either. That they were known for rum.
And what's interesting is, so there were five of us, and I said I wanted it spicy. And of course, she's like, are you sure? The waitress. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. I said, I want you to make it spicy for these guys. And then it still wasn't spicy.
Mm.
And so like we all shared, and I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty good. You know, this is probably about medium. And they're like, that's medium? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, no, that's pretty spicy. I'm like, no, it's not. That's about medium. Mine was like mild. Anyway, you know, just because I'm white doesn't mean I don't like spicy food. Oh, well, anyway, it was still delicious and, you know, good company and all that good stuff. So
that's awesome.
Good, good. Yeah. Well, I had received a request that I didn't get to last show to compare OneNote and Evernote.
Yeah.
And I've been, I think it was Kai.
But I'm not sure. They're very similar on the back end, right?
Probably.
So, well, no, I'm just saying, like, Evernote, OneNote, they're very similar on the back end. No? Nothing? End.
They both Evernote, have the word note in them.
They both end in the word note.
Sorry.
Got me there. I thought we were going for something more technical.
No, I was trying to be funny. And I
I have OneNote at work, and I just started using it when I started my new job in December. I've been using Evernote for maybe a year, and I use that mostly for personal stuff. Mm-hmm. But you can use it as a fully functional work note program as well.
Sure. I've also used both, by the way. Uh-huh. I've used both, so.
My experience is I'll continue to use both and for those two tasks. I really like OneNote at work. It is laid out a little bit more Windows-like, which, of course, is the operating system that I grew up in. So it's easy to kind of have multiple pages on one notebook and flip from one to the other. The actual interface of typing notes is so-so. It's fine, but sometimes I have a little bit of trouble getting the mouse cursor exactly where I want it to and starting to
mean. And this is Evernote or OneNote?
OneNote.
Okay.
This is OneNote. And I'm using it, you know, on a Windows PC.
Okay.
They both do pictures. They both do checkboxes if you want to do like a quick task list. The one difference... Well, there's a couple differences that I come across. Evernote, now I'm not sure if this is a premium feature or not. I do pay $45 a year for the premium features in Evernote. OneNote is, of course, paid for by my employer. But Evernote has an offline mode. OneNote might, but I have not been able to find it if it does.
Okay.
And I have a very specific place where this comes in handy. So you can say, hey, on this notebook, make it available offline and save it on my phone. Mm-hmm. Our library has no signal inside of it. No LTE, no Wi-Fi.
No Wi-Fi?
They might have a Wi-Fi that I could sign up for, but I've never bothered.
Sure.
And so the library card is on Evernote. Okay. So I can just scan to check out books, and I can have that available offline, anytime I need it, even if I'm not getting a signal. The other issue I've had with OneNote, and this is probably just an Android thing, I have had it just completely fail to launch on with OneNote. If you're using Apple, probably not an issue. I mean, let's face it, it's going to be the same operating system, so it probably is going to work a little bit more reliably. But I have had a couple times where OneNote just will not launch on my phone.
Okay, so interesting. So let me talk about the experience from an Apple perspective. So OneNote, in my experience, is the all-around better product when you're talking about an Apple experience. So I'm a little biased in that. For note-taking, I bought myself an iPad Pro with the Pencil. And I have to tell you, the OneNote experience with the Apple Pencil is far superior to anything that Evernote offers. And the other part that I will say that, in my opinion, OneNote does better is, I guess what I would call almost OCR, taking a picture of a whiteboard and it translating written text to editable text in OneNote is far superior than that of Evernote. And I will tell you that at least on Apple products, so with my phone and with my iPad, offline capabilities are fine. You do have to make sure that if you have data that you've worked on OneNote on my Windows machine, that I sync that first down to my Apple product. But usually what I was more often doing was creating a new note in the Apple product offline and then syncing that back up once I was on Wi-Fi with no issues whatsoever. For me, I used to be an Evernote subscriber. Once I had OneNote through my work employer, I canceled my Evernote. I haven't used it since. Now, that being said, I don't know what OneNote offers for non-corporate users, because my last two jobs have had that as an option. So I'm not paying anything. So I don't know, like, if you wanted a personal subscription for OneNote, if that's offered, and if it is, how much it costs. Because obviously cost is going to come into the equation if you're having to pay for it yourself. And if it's, you know, $100 versus $49 on Evernote, then I might be more willing to go to Evernote. But especially with Apple Pencil and, you know, optical recognition, I think OneNote was a better product for me. And that's from using Apple on the mobile device side. The OneNote app was just superb. Very good.
So I actually found a document out here on Microsoft, and it looks like as of Office 2013, they have separated Evernote into a free product for personal use.
OneNote, you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry, OneNote.
Okay.
Too many notes.
While we were talking, Microsoft bought Evernote.
Yeah. Well, they could do that. So it looks like if you are using OneNote, that there is – oh, and Todd is showing it failing to launch. It's just sitting there spinning. It looks like it is free, and I have heard that the Microsoft product suites on iOS are actually really, really nice.
So what's interesting is the Microsoft applications on iOS are considered better on iOS than they are on Windows native. Microsoft has really put a focus on, you know, there is a huge customer demand for, you know, those products on Apple products, and they've really focused on that.
We're rolling out Power BI for work, and I have no problems launching that on my phone. So I mean, like, that's like a complete database with graphs and underlying data and stuff, and it runs just fine on the same phone. But for some reason, OneNote's a little hinky.
Well, you got to get yourself an iOS device there, Todd.
Well, funny you should mention that. That topic has come up in our house, not for me, of course. But
so
go ahead.
Are you intrigued at all by the new iPad at $329?
I haven't really looked at it that closely. I'm not. if the kids want a tablet, I would certainly entertain that. The topic that's come up in our house is that, you know, my son has my old iPhone 4, not 4S. Okay.
Sure.
My old iPhone 4. And my wife is finding more and more programs that just won't
run.
They won't work. So, and you're very close to no programs working on it because they're going to make a 64-bit requirement and then you're done.
Yeah. And she's been with her current phone for 2 years, so there's no problem. She can get a new phone. She has it because she likes her 6.
Okay.
And I said, well, the iPhone 8 is coming up, and she's like, well, I don't really need the latest thing, but I told her, you know, the 7, and by the way, the 7 and the 6 are still the exact same price at AT&T, because I thought, like, well, maybe we'll wait and see if the 8 comes out, will the 7 drop? Nah, no price difference. $21.67 a month, both of them. But what it is, what gave her some hesitation is the headphone jack. Is there any news on the 8? Are they going to bring it back?
No. Not a chance.
Yeah, no. I think they've committed too hard.
Yeah, no. I will tell you right off, no, not a chance. There will be no headphone jack ever again.
The 6S still has one, though, right? The 6S has a headphone jack? Okay.
Yeah, and absolutely. And when we switched here recently from T-Mobile to Verizon, my wife got the 6S for that very reason. She wanted a headphone jack. She sells Girl Scout cookies with Jessica. They have a card reader that's you know, given out by the Girl Scouts of America, and that card reader goes in the headphone jack, mm-hmm. and it does not work with the dongle.
Yeah.
You know, they warned people, this will not work with the dongle. So, you know, that was a concern for her, so she got a 6S. But no, the answer is no, Apple will not be going to that. The bigger answer will be that those card reader manufacturers are going to have to go to a Lightning port because they're going to have to support Apple products because, let's face it, in the United States, Apple's the, you know,
over half the market,
right?
Yes.
So, you know, those card reader manufacturers are going to have to go to either Bluetooth or, you know, using the Lightning connector. But I don't think there's any chance that the 7S or whatever they call this next one. I personally don't believe they'll be calling it the iPhone 8.
Gotcha.
I think it'll be called like iPhone Anniversary or Edition. iPhone Edition or something like that.
Maybe so iPhone 10.
I think an Edition, honestly, like Watch Edition.
Yeah.
Because I think there's going to be a premium cost associated with it as well. So I think we'll probably see an iPhone 7S. iPhone 7S Plus, and then an iPhone Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any of them will have headphone jacks. I don't think there's a chance. Because honestly, there hasn't been that much of a pushback. Most people, including like all three of my kids, are like, I don't know, we want a headphone jack, we want to be able to charge it, we blah, 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 blah. Has not been an issue at all, ever. Like, none. So, it's just non-starter, and so many people are going, like, you know, I'm standing here on my phone with, you know, these guys, and I'm on my wireless, and it sounds good, I say. I mean, you know, I guess let the consumers be the judge, but I don't think my voice sounds bad, and I'm just using my Beats wireless, so.
Yeah, well, and to that point, like, I did break down, and I bought one additional dongle, because I had so many pair of, you know, 3.5 millimeter headphones, that was $9, $7, something like that. And I did break down and I bought the Belkin, and it kills me that Apple doesn't make one, but I bought the Belkin dual lightning adapter so that I could plug a pair of headphones in and charge, because sometimes I'll listen at night, you know, falling asleep, I'll put on a radio program and I don't want it to be off the charger all night long. But other than that, I haven't had a complaint. That has completely covered my needs. I've got, you know, the pair of lightning ear pods that come with it. I've got, you know, two dongles, and that satisfies any headphones I want to plug in. And I did splurge, and I spent the $39 for the Belkin dongle. So I get it. It's not free, but pretty low cost.
I got one of the ones off Amazon for my kids for whatever, like 11 or 12
bucks. Yeah, you can get those real cheap.
They work perfect. They kids have no problems, but they don't use them that often. 9 times out of 10, they're just like, yeah, I just don't feel the need. You know, I'll plug it in and charge it for a few minutes, and that gives me up 10 or 15%, and then I'm good.
Well, and I've read that a lot of those really inexpensive splitters out of China, the remote controls inline don't work with them. So
interesting.
I don't have that problem with the official Apple dongle. And so that's what I use. But yeah, I think if you just have a straight pair of headphones or don't care about the inline controls, remote controls, then you're golden with those. I've seen them as low as $5 on Amazon. And people write in, they work. You can't use your controls. But other than that, you can get audio out.
Good deal.
Yep.
Yeah, well, we'll see what we end up doing. But I have a feeling it'll be a success, maybe.
Well, and you know, it's interesting that you say that, Todd, because you know, asking will they revive it? I did have a real short little story in here. So apparently, rumors are swirling that the next Moto Z Force, they're going to bring the 3.5mm port back.
The Z2,
yeah, both on leaks and Android Authority.
I just want to point out that's only because Motorola is not courageous.
they realized which side of the courage is the better side of valor.
It could, honestly, it could be the market. Maybe us Android geeks are more vocal about our lack of headphone jack. I don't know.
You know, I mean, do I miss it? Sure. But I've been able to get by just fine without it. There have been a small number of times where it sure would have been convenient to just plug in a pair of headphones right into the phone, but it's not a deal breaker for me.
But realistically, like, which would you rather have, a headphone jack or an SD card reader?
Both.
Well,
I have both right here.
So I also have both on my work phone that's sitting over there, but you know, realistically, like, the headphone jack is just, I think sometimes Apple says that and they're just totally way off base. Like, I think a good example of that was the Mac Pro. You know, they came out with this quote unquote innovative design and blah, 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 blah. And realistically, they made a mistake. And it's only taken them, what, 5 years to admit that?
Yeah.
Okay. But I honestly don't think that, as stupid as the reasons that they gave for removing the 3.5mm jack, because the reasons that they gave are totally BS, right? Because, you know, look at the Samsung Galaxy S8. Bezel-less design, next to no bezel anywhere on that phone, and they still have a 3.5mm jack.
Right.
Well, I'm looking at it. It is pretty. It's so pretty.
And we can talk more about that. But if they would have just come out and said, look, we don't think that this is important, so we're not going to use it, then I'm okay with that. I'm more against Apple's reasoning behind getting rid of it than I am getting rid of it, because ultimately, I think they're right. I don't think it's important. 3 years from now, 3.5mm jack is not going to be important.
Well, I mean, Apple has always been good about pushing the envelope whether you want it pushed or not, and the 3.5mm jack is definitely old tech. Now, places where I still haven't found a good workaround, like to do, like to record people off a phone for the podcast, which we have done a time or two, I can't make my special little cable that runs into my mixer board play nice with the dongle. I haven't been able to figure that out yet. So right now, if I had to do a actual phone call recording onto the podcast, I'd have to come up with a plan B because I can't route my iPhone 7 into my mixer. Yeah.
D20.
I'd have to go and dig out an old phone and put my SIM in and make it work that way.
Just borrow mine,
or some other thing. But my point is, it's like, so that's one shortcoming. Right. But it's, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's
sitting around the house somewhere.
Yeah, it's a non-issue. It's a non-issue. But those are things that haven't worked the kinks out of yet. So, yeah, I mean, I could always buy like a little Bluetooth adapter receiver that plugs into the soundboard. There are ways around it, but those are the kind of things.
Can we segue into talking about the Galaxy S8? Because seriously, like, is this, it's gorgeous, right?
It is gorgeous.
I've had very limited hands-on with it, but man, is it built nice in the hand.
So, yeah, we've got, well, the key things, I won't go through the full specs, even though I'd love to. It's an 18.5:9 aspect ratio. So that's something different. The G6, the LG G6 that came out last month is a 2:1, 18:9. Mm-hmm. So they're going taller, basically. They're going taller. So even though it's 5.8-inch, you're like, whoa, that's a huge screen. You're like, well, it's big. That is correct. It's 5.8-inch, but it's taller, so it's still going to fit in your hand a little bit better.
Yeah, it's about as wide as the iPhone 7. It's just like an inch taller than the iPhone 7.
Yeah, and the S8 Plus is 6.2 inches. They have a Qualcomm Snapdragon 835 or the Samsung Exynos 8895 if you get the international unlocked version.
And so correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard that the sales for the Plus have exceeded that of the regular S8.
Yes, I think I had a note in that somewhere. Yeah, in the U.S., more people are pre-ordering the larger S8 Plus, and the theory is that they wanted to get a large factor Samsung phone in lieu of the Note.
Huh. Yeah.
You won't get the S Pen, but you will get a large form factor. And the other big difference between the two is the 3,500 milliamp battery in the S8 Plus, 3,000 milliamp battery in the S8. Although the initial review from Android Central I saw was that the battery life is good. And Samsung will ramp up and also bring down. It's a 5.8-inch AMOLED 2960 by 1440, but it will reduce the resolution in certain cases to save on the battery.
Huh. Okay. That's interesting.
That makes sense. That's good.
Yeah, that's one of the they've talked about that. I think the Note 7 did that before the issues, but yeah, they've put that into the S8, the S8 Plus. It has Bluetooth 5.0, first phone that shipped with the 5.0. The new Bluetooth standard. So supposed that's to be fine. Two times the it's like three times the range and two times the throughput. I think something like that.
Yeah, and it's quite a bit of throughput in the 5.0 spec, at least once it's fully implemented.
Yes. Perfect laboratory conditions, right?
Right.
Does it have built-in wireless charging?
It does. So yeah. It's got USB-C. It has fast charging. Qi wireless and power mount.
Oh, it does both.
IP68. Yeah, I've got it listed as having both. IP68 waterproofing. The cameras are basically the same hardware as last year's model. They claim that they've improved the software, but it's got the dual cameras, 12 megapixel f1.7, 1.4 micron pixels with OIS, and a better front camera. I think the S7 has a 4 megapixel, and now this one has got an 8 megapixel. Yeah, 4 gigs of RAM, micro SD up to 256. I guess I am going through all the specs, so I love talking about it. It's going to ship with Android Nougat. Yeah, so it looks like... To me, the Orchid Gray is beautiful. Sorry, Jeff. Go ahead.
No, it's just a gorgeous phone. And you know, having both the S7 and the iPhone 7 Plus, the one thing I will tell you, like, the screen, I would say that I prefer the AMOLED. And that's just a personal preference thing, right? So, like, if I had to pick between the two, I would pick the Samsung screen. I still think fit and finish, Apple's better. I mean, not that the Samsung's not good. It is. But if I had to pick between the two, right? I have both. Mm-hmm. Right. iPhone's better. I would say the fingerprint reader is a push. Samsung's just as fast.
But where is it placed? It's getting some pushback on where they put it.
They put it on back for the S8, right?
Yeah.
They put it on the back on the S8, but it's right by the camera lens.
Yeah, but people are complaining about it, that it's fumbly and hard to reach and not consistent.
That's interesting. And well, obviously the S7 is not. The S7's on the butt on the home button, right?
Right.
The one thing, so I would say from an OS standpoint, like I have Nougat now, right? No.
Yes, Nougat.
Nougat? I have Nougat on the S7.
Yes.
I love the customability of Android. However, from a performance standpoint, you know, opening an app, you know, unlocking the phone, opening an app, using an app, iPhone's better. It just is. I will tell you that, like, if I'm at the airport and I need to get to a boarding pass, I'll use my iPhone every time.
Yeah.
Because it's faster. It is. It's faster. Mm-hmm. Where Samsung wins, Samsung Pay, honestly, guys, is the best feature ever.
Like, dang you for saying that, because now I'm thinking about picking up a used Samsung so I can test that out.
I'm telling you, Samsung Pay is insane. Like, I can't even tell you. It is so amazing. And So being, you know, doing the traveling thing again, right? I've taken a lot of taxis. Mm-hmm. And in taxis, it's awesome because I do not have to fish in my pocket, mm-hmm. get my wallet out of my pocket when I'm sitting in the back seat. I'm just tapping it. And 9 times out of 10, the cab driver's like, no, it won't work. Yeah, it will. Ding. I tell you, like, how Apple hasn't, you know, unabashedly recreated this technology and claimed it as their own, I don't understand, because it beats the pants. And not that Apple Pay isn't convenient. It is where it works. But that's right. Very limited number of places, right?
Yeah, in the U.S., yeah.
Whereas the Samsung, if there's a card reader there, it works.
Yeah. I'm sure Samsung has that patented out, the yin-yang.
My only caveat to that is why do restaurants not have card readers? I want the waiter to bring me a card reader like they do in Europe.
Well, there you go.
Get on that, America. Come on.
Okay, so
come on, America.
You say that, Jeff, and you say Samsung Pay, everybody needs, you know, Apple needs to steal it. We need more of that. And the only counterpoint to that I will put is that with Apple Pay, they have built it to be, I'm not going to say fraud-proof, but much more fraud-resistant with the generation of one-time tokens that you're not actually exposing your credit card. And interesting antidote, I got an email from my bank yesterday that my credit card or my debit card was potentially involved in some breach and that they were going to be deactivating it and sending me a new one.
Aww.
I went into my my bank, and because they have the capabilities of creating a card, like a temporary card there in the branch, so I don't have to wait for a debit card to be mailed to me. And I walked in and said, "Hey, I just got an email from you guys that this has been potentially compromised." And the lady at the bank immediately said, "Oh, the GameStop hack, right?" And I said, "No, I don't shop at GameStop." So apparently there's a big GameStop breach that has just happened. There's an IHC, which is International Hotel something, has had a big data breach. Verifone has had a big data breach. All this has just come out this week. Interestingly, a coworker just had his card compromised the exact same time that I got the notice. He had actual charges on his card from a inmate calling service that got through. He was able to get that reversed. And then just today we were talking, and he got email alerts from his bank that somebody tried to make a $4,000 and a $2,000 charge at a Value City Furniture in Columbus, Ohio on his card. So yikes. Security and fraud prevention it's got to be a huge thing.
So if you're spending $4,000 of Value City Furniture, did you just walk in and say, "I'll take one of everything"?
Okay, but my point is that, you know, within date, and so, you know, his comment is, you know, is there anything in common that we both have done that, you know, because we both got compromised right at potentially the same time, and the only thing that we could think is we all went out to lunch last week together, right, at the same place, and everybody handed off their credit cards to a waiter or waitress who took them away and was gone with them for 5 or 10 minutes.
So they need to get card readers that come to your table.
Absolutely.
I mean, this has to happen, right?
Well, and coincidentally, my card that got compromised was the card I paid for lunch with, and his card that got compromised was the card he paid for lunch with. So,
yep.
Don't know if there's anything there, but there could be something there.
I can't believe you didn't look straight at the teller and say, "Oh no, it's the porn site that I use." it wasn't GameStop. No, ma'am.
I wish I would have been that quick on my feet. That would have been awesome.
Anyway.
You mean porn stop, right?
So gamers out there may be charges coming if you've been shopping at GameStop. I looked and it goes from September of last year until February of this year. If you shopped online or in a GameStop, you are potentially breached.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I know that I have, but I want to say I've only used their game cards, but we'll see. I'll keep an eye out.
So anyway, that was a big breach that was just announced this week. So. Yeah, but they need to do something. And you're right. I mean, Samsung Pay, being able to use it everywhere, that's awesome. But the whole industry needs to move to tokenized, less easy to steal, non-strip solutions. Because that piece is not good.
The other comment I want to make real quick on the Z, the Z2 that we mentioned. I specifically did not get the Moto Z because they made the Force, the Z Force, and a Verizon exclusive. And they're not going to do that this time around. Apparently, they're going to have the Z Force available, the Z2 Force available, unlocked. And
right.
I haven't seen AT&T yet, but I've seen Verizon, Sprint, and T-Mobile.
Oh, yeah. And, sorry, just to go back a little bit, just to make sure that we give Samsung their fair shake. Samsung Pay is also tokenized payment.
Oh, it is. Oh. I thought it just generated a magnetic field, and it was the same as swiping your card.
It does generate a magnetic field.
But it's a tokenized field?
The payment is tokenized.
All right, yes. Well, okay. There you go. We need more of that. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, like, seriously, Samsung Pay, two thumbs up, cannot say enough about it.
Yep. Apple needs to steal it. To the point where,
as much as I hate some of the bloatware that's on Samsung devices, I cannot see myself not buying a Samsung device if I were going to go Android.
My parents have both pre-ordered S8 Pluses. So once they get those in their grubby little hands, I will steal them and use them.
Yeah, but my sister has also pre-ordered a S8 Plus.
Awesome.
I think S8 Plus is preferred by people over 50.
Yeah.
Everywhere, right? Because you can see
the screen. See the screen better. I don't know. I wonder if my mom is going to like that or not. So we'll see. That'll be the first big screen she's had.
I may have a solution to that I'm going to talk about tonight, what I love. So just burying the lead a little bit there for those with aging eyes.
Sweet!
Okay. So, yeah, that's, you know, I found an interesting tidbit. I love my little tidbits I wanted to throw out at you guys. This is kind of sure. One of those mind benders, the fun fact of the day on YouTube. I saw something just this last week that right now YouTubers are adding 570,000 hours of new content every day.
Oh.
If you spent your entire lifetime starting right now, you wouldn't be able to finish all of the videos that were uploaded yesterday. Couldn't do it. And what's more is the amount of data that YouTube requires to just hold YouTube. Somebody had done a breakdown. They did an assumption here at a 5 megabit per second bit rate. They said that a DVD is between 7 and 8 megabits a second. A Blu-ray is between 25 and 35. So at 5 megabits with one level of redundancy, YouTube has to add 2 terabytes of hard drive space every minute just to keep up with the new content that is being uploaded. Bear in mind, YouTube has been around for 12 years, roughly. There are approximately 819 million hours of video that are uploaded into their archives. Yes, almost a billion hours. And the most amazing thing to me is the number one channel is PewDiePie. He has 42 million subscribers. So,
he's the man.
You know, that one crazy Norwegian guy or Swedish guy.
How many of those are Nazis? I don't know.
Wherever he's from. No. I mean, but think about that. I mean, like, you can have a hit show on a major network pulling 7-8 million viewers. He's got 42 million subscribers to his videos. Sure.
And here's the thing. That's why Disney was bending over backwards to try to get him on the air.
Right.
And then he did the whole Nazi thing, and they're like, maybe not. Yeah.
But my point is, like, I couldn't point him out of a lineup. Like, I know who he is,
right.
If I heard his voice, I'd probably be like, oh, him. It's him. But I don't really know his face well enough to
You watched have you watched Iron Fist? Because he kind of looks similar.
Not yet. but I mean, there really is this growing number of celebrities that the general public is not at all familiar with.
Yeah.
Hey, that's absolutely. I mean, my kids, you know, they have people that they consider celebrities, including PewDiePie. Although I will tell you that two out of three of my kids were PewDiePie fans until the whole Nazi thing, and they've wiped their hands clean.
Really?
They're done.
Really?
Like, we have no interest whatsoever in him whatsoever anymore at all. So, so that, you know, thinking that that only matters to old people like us is not true.
Interesting.
They're done with him. So it'll be interesting to see this time next year how many active followers he has, because even though my kids are probably still followers,
they're not watching the content.
They don't watch the content anymore at all.
Huh.
So, but there, it's not just PewDiePie. There are, you know, YouTube celebrities that, you know, and those people can make a living at it. But what's interesting is, you know, that, you know, PewDiePie, 41 million followers, let's say half of them are real, 20 million followers, right? That are following him. Like, the amount of money he makes good money. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, he's making good money, but comparatively speaking, for the number of views that he gets nothing.
Like, let's try.
Google is like totally take advantage of these YouTube stars, in my opinion.
Well, the Wall Street Journal reported that in 2013, he earned estimated $4 million, which, if you think about the number of viewers,
that's not
a lot. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's about 3.99 million more than I earned in 2013. But
right. But like, think about like the stars of The Big Bang Theory.
Hey, they're getting $1 million an episode.
They're getting $1 million an episode, and they don't, I mean, they don't have 41 million viewers.
No, not at all.
I mean, not even close to that, right?
And I'm curious, if we look at the ratings, what is The Big Bang Theory?
I mean, it's the number one comedy, right?
It is. Like, it is the number one sitcom, and I was just looking to see what their viewership might be. It's giving me actual, like, IMDb ratings.
They probably get 30 million viewers.
Oh, I bet not.
7.18 million viewers.
There you go.
Wow. See?
The threshold? Sorry, hold
on. It had averaged 17 and same day. What is this? I don't know what all. There's like some numbers here.
That's the thing.
Oh, that was for one episode. 7.18 million viewers on the episode last year. 17.25 million viewers and same day viewership.
Yeah, that's not much to have a hit show. So for season 10, I'm sorry, for season 9, they have built to an average viewership of 20 million viewers.
Okay.
Yeah, about 20. Yeah, that's about right.
Up from the first season, which was only 8 million.
Sure.
So, I mean, that is, PewDiePie is potentially double that
potentially
many.
I would say probably the same. He's probably reaching the same number of viewers.
And he's
reality.
Making $4 million a year? The top three stars are making $25 million a piece.
Yeah, and he's everything.
Yeah.
He's the talent. He's the producer. He's the cameraman. He's the sound guy. It's PewDiePie, right?
Right, right.
He's it. So,
he hasn't hired anybody by now, or?
I'm kind of surprised he has a staff.
I'm sure he has some people, but it is a majority just him. Now, the other thing to think about is that the last I heard of him making the $4 million a year, that's not YouTube revenues. That's his total revenues.
Right. Yeah, that's everything he's putting his name on.
So he's on Conan. I'm sure he gets paid for that. I still think like Google is just, they are taking these YouTube stars for a ride, because, you know, like, I know that internet ad revenue is not nearly what you get for TV ad revenue. I get that. But you can't tell me how much do you think they're making off these people? I mean, it's got to be.
They still haven't found a great way to monetize it yet. That's the missing piece. They're not monetizing it like traditional broadcast yet, and nobody has cracked that puzzle. What's his production cost? Do you think, even if he's got five people that work for him, his production costs are nothing? I just did a quick Google, and from 2016, the Big Bang production costs were estimated at between $9 and $11 million weekly.
Per episode, sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, it you know, like, I don't know. I mean, the big problem I think that YouTube needs to crack is people that buy advertising on YouTube cannot buy advertising that is show or channel specific. So if you buy advertising with YouTube, you're buying advertising for YouTube. You can't say, I want 5 minutes of advertising on PewDiePie's channel for this time frame.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest problem they have. But it's a double-edged sword in that there are quite a few brands who won't advertise with YouTube because they wouldn't want to end up being on an advertisement for PewDiePie.
Well,
right?
And, you know,
because that doesn't fit their brand.
And what's interesting is I actually had these in the show notes for a week or so to talk about them, and we hadn't gotten around to it, and I took them out. But there is a big kerfuffle going on right now at YouTube that major sponsors have been having their content show up on extreme channels,
sure.
And they are dropping like flies because, you know, McDonald's is saying, we showed up on a white supremacist video. McDonald's does not support white supremacy, so we're pulling all of our advertising off of the YouTube platform.
But and that's like an extreme viewpoint. But like even let's say PewDiePie, right? So like McDonald's, that probably would be okay, right? Because you know, younger crowd, you know, barring his kerfuffle into the whole Nazi thing, which was really just a joke. Done in poor taste, but whatever. But the but to that is like, let's say Rolex or Tag Heuer or Audi or Mercedes-Benz. So they're probably not interested in the target market that is PewDiePie.
Right. They're not buying luxury automobiles and fine Swiss watch pieces.
So my point is until Google gets into the actual being able to brand out how your advertising gets out there, they're probably not going to ever get the money that you can get. Like, you know, I know neither of you probably watch golf, right? Because you're, you know, you.
Nope.
But like, nope. So I watch golf. I watch the Masters. Raise my hand. I watch the Masters. And literally, like, every other commercial is Mercedes, Rolex, you know,
right.
Tag Heuer. And because they're going after a very specific market that is people that are willing to spend the money are watching the Masters.
Right.
Right.
You know, so until YouTube can do a better job targeting those individual markets, they're never going to get the money. I think that's why Facebook has been more successful than people thought that they would be, because Facebook has been able to break out and say, oh, you want to market to this specific, you know, demographic, we can do that.
Yeah, and Facebook get incredibly granular. I actually Absolutely. Tinkered with it when the podcast first went live, playing with you know, I spent $10 or $15 on Facebook advertising just to see what it would do. And the level of granularity, not only does it let you really, really hone in on what attributes and demographic attributes you want to be advertising to, but it will estimate the number of ad impressions that it will give you as you twiddle all of those different numbers. So you say, I'm going to spend X dollars and I want to hit people between these ages, and then I want all of these other demographic pieces, and it'll dial in. We think that this ad will get served to 8,000 people, 12,000 people, 15,000 people. And it keeps, you know, as you get more and more niche, it'll adjust all of those numbers, and it'll say, now it may take 2 months to hit 20,000 people, but we're going to give you 20,000 ad impressions that fit this incredibly, you know, detailed set of demographic information. And in theory, those are the people that are going to likely click like, engage somehow interact with you. And I haven't advertised on the YouTube side of things, but I don't think it's anywhere nearly as sophisticated. Yeah. And our guest that we had on, what, months ago, Chris Spangle, said the same thing. Facebook is the 800-pound gorilla. Nothing else is even close. And he works with a major national radio program that heavily relies on social media.
But that's why Facebook is also, you know, growing exponentially. I mean, you know,
right.
from a market cap, from a, you know, company brand value, they're going to catch up with Google quickly, because Google's, I don't know, I think Google's dropping the ball a little bit.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely, and you know,
with- I think Google should hire us to help them, because I feel like we could really do that.
You know, I feel like I could take a large salary for a period of time if they believed that I could. I don't know that I could actually deliver on that, but yeah, that would be nice. Give us a call, Google.
I hear Mountain View is nice this time of year.
I could live in Mountain View.
You know what time of year Mountain View is not nice? There's a reason it's so expensive to live out there. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Earthquake season?
Yeah, well,
maybe earthquakes year round. I saw one. I know, Jeff, you have a heart out, so we're gonna be wrapping up here real soon. No, you're fine. You've got that that wild lifestyle. But I saw this one just today, in fact, and I thought this was interesting. And I know that you and your family are big users of Walmart. So Walmart just announced that they have got a new program that is launching. I believe it actually launches tomorrow. We are recording this on April the 18th, Tax Day in America.
Tax Day.
Tax day. So they have got a new program where if you order on Walmart.com for pickup in store, they are going to try and beat Amazon at their own game by offering you what they are calling a pickup discount. It is a new program that is called Pickup Discount, and it will lower the price for items that are only available online. But the but is you have to have them shipped to a nearby store for pickup. They say that by relying on their existing supply chain, their fleet of delivery trucks, and skipping last mile of bringing it to your mailbox, they can save money and pass that savings on to their customers.
So I will give this caveat in that Meijer just opened up last week in Franklin.
And you've stopped using Walmart.
We might not be as much of a Walmart user this week as we were about 3 weeks ago. So
fair enough.
I just want to throw that out there.
Meijer Produce.
Before our options were basically Walmart or Walmart.
And now you have Walmart or nicer Walmart.
Well, we actually have a Kroger too, but it's just, you know, it's too high for me.
Meijer Produce beats Kroger Produce.
Yeah, every time. Hey, seriously, Meijer Produce is the king. And we buy all our meat at Sam's Club.
Yep. Yeah. Very similar to us.
You know, I'm Walmart might be slipping a little bit from the Cheney household, but you know, that's okay.
But you know, I mean, so they gave us a few examples of some products in the discounting. They listed a infant car seat that sells for $148.05. If you pick it up in store with their pickup discount program, you'll save an additional $7.40. That's not nothing. They had a Lego City Great Vehicles Ferry. $23.99. It gives you an additional discount of $2.55. I mean, that's better than 10%. They had a 70-inch.
You still have not mentioned a single thing that I would purchase.
No. I get it. But I mean, the list of things that they.
I like this on a 70-inch. So keep going with that.
Yes.
They have a Vizio SmartCast 70-inch Ultra HD 4K TV, $16.98. With a discount of $50, so less than 10%. But what's that, about 4%, 3%, something like that?
4%, yeah. 3.5%, maybe.
You know, so not nothing. They're obviously trying to compete against Amazon in whatever way they possibly can. They're doing free two-day shipping, so it'll still be at your local Walmart store within 2 days. They say that this plan will account for approximately 90%. It will cover approximately 90% of Americans. They're within the delivery of a Walmart that they can get to and pick it up. And no subscription necessary. You order it online and it'll deliver for free. It did not say in the article if it was going to have that the $25 or $35 minimum I think they were doing earlier this year where they would deliver it to your home 2 day free, kind of like Amazon Prime.
Sure.
Anyway, this program launches April 19th and is only initially going to cover about 10,000 items. But by June, they say it should be expanded to cover over 1 million items.
Wow.
So obviously they're aggressively pursuing you know, Amazon, and they have to, because you know, Amazon's dang convenient. And you know, if I don't have to make a trip to a brick and mortar, if I don't need it today, bring it to me.
What has become so interesting about Amazon is, you know, used to be about price. Amazon's great prices. And I don't think Amazon's about great prices anymore. It's more about the convenience factor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, quite honestly, Amazon is not the cheapest a lot of times now. But boy, is it convenient. And especially, you know, when you're a Prime member, you give them that money. I'm going to get it, you know, tomorrow or the next day. And I don't have to think about it. You know, it's interesting. Another thing about Amazon, I don't know if you saw, but I think it's starting next month that Amazon will be collecting tax for all 50 states.
Yep. They have finally negotiated with all of the various local governments. And they're going to be collecting taxes.
To be the big competitive advantage that Amazon had.
Right.
Not a competitive advantage anymore. They're going to be charging sales tax to everybody.
Well, the only thing that I can say that they have spun it to be competitive is now that they can have Nexus in all 50 states, they can build distribution in all 50 states. And
that is true.
Know, obviously, they've done that in Indiana for a long time. And in Indiana, you get deliveries. I mean, you can get deliveries within 2 hours now on certain products if you're within certain areas. So you're almost – there's no reason not to, because as long as it's not wildly more expensive than going to the store, they'll bring it right to my house within 2 or 3 hours of me placing an order.
Oh, I mentioned that today at work. We were talking about we kind of got moved into areas and we needed some power strips. And I was like, you know, they're like, oh, well, I'll run down to Best Buy, you know, tonight. I'm like, did you just check on Amazon? Because they might have it here in an hour.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And they looked and, yeah, it was 2 hours. It was there. It was like, see, like, we it's just here. Yeah. We don't have to go anywhere.
And nobody had to take time to go to the store. And, and you know, consultants are billing at a pretty respectable rate. It let somebody bring it to you for nothing. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. no brainer. But. All right, so I know Jeff's got to go out. We got to talk about what we love. Jeff, what do you love? We'll let you go so you can get to your meeting.
So I know this is a thing that you offered up as something I should try, but I'm going to use it as my what I love anyway. And I'll hold it up, and you'll know immediately.
Oh yeah, Harry's razor.
So I got a Harry's razor. They don't pay us anything, but Jacob had recommended it, and I got a subscription. I got three different little things, one for me, one from both of my sons, and they were really nice in the little travel container thing.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Seriously, like, how did I not do that beforehand? So, yeah, Harry's Razors, they do a great job. And again, we're not advertisers, although if anyone at Harry's Razors is listening, we are willing to talk about this because you guys actually do have a very good product.
And, they do.
Highly recommend it. And so my wife got jealous. She's like, I kind of want that, you know? So, yeah. They need a pink handle, though.
I just point that out.
So, like, Harry's, if you're listening, A, you should advertise on our show. B, you need a pink handle.
it's a nice product. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Two thumbs up, Harry's. Awesome.
Okay, so thanks a lot, guys. I'm sorry that I have to run, but enjoyed talking to you guys, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
All right.
Good night, Jeff.
Bye, Jeff.
Good night.
Yeah, I was in Target and saw that they had a Harry's display.
Yeah.
So they're even reaching out to some more, you know, mainstream retail outlets.
You know, it's not that I think that it's super, super cheap, because it's not. I think it works out to, it's like $15, and you get... 8 blades, so a little less than $2 a blade. I think that's substantially less than Gillette. Like, if you just go to the store and buy a Gillette, but it's not, you know, it's not super dirt cheap. I will say, though, that I can use the blades a lot longer than they recommend, and I don't really notice that it doesn't work well. So I'm on, I think I get 8 blades delivered every 3 months or maybe even every 5 months, something like that, because I usually will push the delay me another month, I don't need any more blades yet thing. And yeah, it's not bad. You know, I have safety razors, which use the old double-edged razor blades. And sure, those are way cheaper and they give a better shave, but it takes a lot longer so I don't slice myself up real bad. With my Harry's, I have a little fog-proof mirror right in the shower. I shave while I'm in the shower, and yeah, it works great. It's a nice little product. So that's
awesome. Here's the tip from the cheap accountant. You know what degrades razor blades? Moisture,
right. So I've always read dip them in like mineral oil or rubbing alcohol so that you get all that water off of them.
I just dry them on the towel after I use it, and I put it and I store it not in the bathroom. I store it in the bedroom, just so it doesn't just sit there in the humidity.
Yeah, in the steam. I leave mine hanging right in the shower on the little hook on the mirror.
So yeah, the mineral oil might help, but I don't know. But yeah, I use a blade a quarter basically, so 4 a year.
Oh wow, that's really stretching it out. I get like 2, maybe 3 weeks out of one. I couldn't do a blade a quarter. That's hardcore.
It's because you're not taking care of them.
You're right, and I'm okay with that. Spending $1.80, $1.90 once a month.
No, man, I use the shit Quattro. They're like $5 a blade.
So. They really are. It's crazy expensive.
I've got one thing I'm going to mention. I did use the disc to digital on Voodoo.
Oh, yeah, from last week, sure.
Of the 14 titles that I tried to convert, 5 were available.
Okay.
So,
less than 50%.
The Kevin Smith, like Dogma, Chasing Amy, mm-hmm. none of those worked.
Interesting.
The first one that I got to work, so that was my free one, was Airplane.
Oh.
So the movie Airplane, going way back, was the first one that actually worked.
And a solid one to have ripped digitally, you know.
And they even let me get the HDX version for free. So you can use it on your free one, and I just picked the HDX version. They didn't charge me.
Awesome.
But when I went to do the other 4, I couldn't actually pay for them.
Really?
It would just kick me. Usually in Voodoo, it just kicks you to your Walmart credit card because they're associated with Walmart mm-hmm. and whatever payment options you have on your Walmart app. But it wasn't kicking me over to that screen. It wouldn't let me change the payment status. I sent them a note and they said, call us. And I'm like, well, how is that going to work? I'm going to call you. And
I don't want to call you.
Have to launch the phone. I don't know. So we'll see if I call them or not. But at least for the free one, it definitely worked.
So one, you're good for one.
I got Airplane.
And then only like 60% or not even that, only like 40% of the titles after that.
Yeah. Choose wisely. Okay. So what I love this week, I love the movie Hidden Figures. We watched this over the weekend. It's a great film about the impact African-American mathematicians, women mathematicians, had on the NASA space program in its early days. Of course, it takes place in the South where NASA is headquartered. And it stars, I'm not aware of the women, Taraji Henson, Octavia Spencer, Janelle Monáe. I'm sure you can. I mean, the movie's everywhere. They've got a big display on it, like at Meijer. Also, Kevin Costner. And Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory. I think his real name is Jim Parsons, but as far as I'm concerned, he's Sheldon. It's got a good story, and it gives some of the historical context of what was happening at that time in the U.S. South, but it doesn't hit you over the head with it. Really good movie. I highly recommend it. You can watch it with your family. It's well done.
Yeah, I remember that coming out. It was after Christmas, right? So like first of the year, something like that. And I had heard good things about it. I have not seen it yet, but I will have to give that one a look.
Worth your time.
Yeah, and I recognize some of the actresses, but I can't place what I've seen them from. That Octavia Spencer, she looks really familiar, and I feel like there's something I've watched her in that's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't.
I'm sure you're right.
She's been in some big stuff. She was in, so I'm dating myself a little bit here. She was in Being John Malkovich. She's done some voice work. She was in Zootopia like a year ago. She was in The Help. I've seen her. So maybe I'm just, the face looks familiar. She's been in a lot of stuff, actually. So very cool. Have to give that one a look.
Jacob, what do you love this week that I need to tell my parents about?
So, as promised, and it's a shame Jeff jumped off here talking about having to get the plus size phone as your eyes get older. So, I have turned into an old man, and my eyes have gotten older. So, just recently, I had decided to get contact lenses since the weather's turning nice, and I don't always want to be tethered to glasses. And at the pool, it's nice to be able to just throw on a cheap pair of sunglasses, or if we're out, being active. So with that, when I wear contacts, I can't see up close for love or money. Because as my ophthalmologist explained to me, you lose the ability for your eye to focus closely when you're correcting for distance. So you kind of have to pick your poison. You can either have a prescription that works for you up close, or, and everything far away is blurry, or you can have a prescription that works far away and it's really hard to see up close. That's why you need reading glasses. So I found a pair of reading glasses from a company called Thin Optics, and I will attempt to hold this my phone up to the webcam so that Todd can see it. It sticks right to the back of your phone. It's about as thick as maybe two credit cards. And the cool part is you just pull them out of the back, and they're like little Matrix Morpheus glasses. They sit right on the bridge of your nose. They kind of grip it, and you can get them in, I think, 1.0, 1.5, 2.0, 2.5. I think they've got like four varieties. And, man, they make it, like, even with my glasses on, it makes it a lot easier to read my screen. And with contacts in, like when I hold my cell phone screen up at normal cell phone distances, it's definitely hard to see. I can feel my eyes fighting me to see it. And with these, it works a treat. And yeah, they just pop right in and out of this little tiny thin case that you can stick on the back of your phone. They have multiple different packages. You can actually buy phone cases that have the carrier built into them. The as delivered ones come with this thin little thing you can stick anywhere you want. They recommend on the back of your phone. They've got one that I kind of want to get where, and I'm going to kind of show this to Todd. I don't know if he can see it, but the glasses will fold all the way over on themselves. And then they fit in this little tiny case that goes on your keychain. And you just pull them out, they pop open, and you've got you got reading glasses. So they're pretty inexpensive as far as reading glasses go. I think they're $19 on Amazon. I think you can actually also buy them directly from Thin Optics website. But when you get older and your eyes start going, they work really well. What's interesting is so over this past weekend, I was together with family for Easter, and I pulled them out and was actually using them to see something on my phone. And the 21-year-old was mocking me for having these glasses that perch on the bridge of your nose. As soon as I pulled them out, they're like, "What's that? Oh, you're such an old man." At work this week, I was having lunch with coworkers, and one of them noticed this thing on the back of my phone case and said, "Huh, what's that on the back of your phone case?" And I pulled them out, and I, of course, work with a bunch of middle-aged people, and they immediately went, "Oh my God, that is the coolest thing ever. Where can I get those?" So, you know, you run with the 20-year-old crowd, you're going to get made fun of. You run with the 40, 50-year-old crowd, they're going to want a link. So I can highly recommend these things. They work really well. I mean, they're just reading glasses, but they're super convenient to carry around with you. So,
and which, I'm sorry, which magnification did you use? You know, or did you buy?
I got a 2, and I think that actually might be a little too strong. Gotcha. So I think like, because I have reading glasses when I wear glasses, and I think those are 1.5s. And that, I think, is a good spot for me. So if I had it to do over again, I'd probably get the 1.5s. I don't know if I'm going to go spend another $20 for a pair just because the 2s work fine, but they can be a little strong. Yeah, it's a great idea. It works well. Not too terribly expensive. Give them a look. Like I said, if you use reading glasses, I'll put a link out there. It's worth taking a look at. They're pretty cool little gizmos. So that is what I love right now. Works well. So I think we are at the end now. Jeff has already left us, and it is time for us to say goodbye. So we appreciate you listening. If you have a comment, a question, a rant, a rave, we would love to hear from you. Please feel free to give us a call. And that number, as always, is 317-643-1212. You can follow us on Twitter at NoBetterShow. You can go to our website, www.nobettershow.com. Send us email the old-fashioned way. Our email address is feedback@nobettershow.com. We read it all and we try and get to it on the air. We actually had an email come in late before this show, so we didn't get a chance to get to that one this week, but we will, we promise. We do appreciate the feedback. If you like the show, tell your friends about us. Tell your podcast listening friends. Get your non-podcast listening friends listening to podcasts. There's great content out there. And go do the subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. That really helps us out. And helps us keep growing. So thank you for listening. Hopefully, now that you have listened to the Know Better Than Average podcast, you know better than average as well. Have a great week, everybody.
Talk at you later, everyone.